Well, it is a privilege for me today to introduce our speakers. This past fall, a couple from the Lower Mainland and from everywhere basically moved to the Comox Valley and made this community home and found their way into our church family as well. We've already had Ryan share at one of our men's breakfasts. It was just outstanding. And so it makes so much sense that we'd all benefit from the opportunity of hearing from both Ryan and Jen together. Before they come and do the marriage refresh in May, I want you to hear from them today. So would you join me in welcoming to our stage Ryan and Jen Walters?
Well, thank you. Thank you, Pastor Mike. So this is our home church. We love you people. And so excited to be here. And I love worshiping God with you. Jenny's going to bring us, take us a little farther back. Because, you know, I know some of you are younger, but I'm an old timer. I married a young wife.
A few months younger. I just have to say, I saw a really fun couple up in the balcony when Mike said, you know, raise your hand if you've already arrived.
I like it.
And he was trying to raise his hand. And his wife was...
No, she was trying to raise his hand, honey. Isn't that awesome? Good job. Good job. Good job. Good job.
It was a lot of fun.
So a little bit about us.
Yeah. Well, Ryan and I have been married 43 years. And
I'll go back to it.
Okay, that's fine. He's already wondering. We met on a blind date. So we just wanted to tell you about how we got together. And Ryan was playing for the Washington Capitals at the time. And he got a new coach. A new coach named Gary Green was hired by his team.
We had four coaches in 4 years during that time. That's not good.
And I knew Gary quite well because I worked for him at his hockey schools over the years and selling programs at Peterborough Pete's games anyway when he coached the Pete's. So I had one request for him when he got hired, and it was, if Bruce Springsteen ever plays in Washington, could you get me a ticket? So
Hold it, a little poll. How many are so old that you know Springsteen? Okay, we're okay.
So I went down to go to a Springsteen concert, but there was a hockey game the night before. And since I knew no one at all in Washington, Gary asked Ryan if he'd take me out for dinner after the game and actually threatened to pull him off the power play.
Not true. Not true.
That's how we met.
Not true. So relationships. So Jenny and I hit, better get this one right, 44 in June. I got to remember that. Guys, I got to remember that, right? And so you know what's sort of cool, though?
The question.
are you guys correcting me? That's good. Good job. I got to remember that. Yeah, I'm going to write that down. So thinking about our theme, you know, Jenny and I were just, love this idea of commitment. And, you know, I'm a pretty simple guy. There's, you know, in my Christian faith and we're so thankful to be in God's kingdom and in Christ. And it's pretty simple stuff, right? In Matthew 22, Jesus said, love the Lord your God and love people. So it's a pretty simple life. Jenny, can you walk us through that verse?
Yeah, love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment. And the second is like it. Love your neighbor as yourself. All the law and the prophets hang on these two commandments. And really, when you think about it, all relationships hang on these two commandments.
Would we agree, friends, church, that relationships don't always go well? Just, yeah, I know, we're all... And yes, we're going to move, you know, sort of in the realm of marriage and you know, that commitment, but we're also wanting to talk about relationships. Like, everybody has relationships. 1986, Jenny and I were fortunate to win that Stanley Cup. And so thankful. I'm a kid from Burnaby, British Columbia. right? Like, I shouldn't have played in the NHL. I should have never really certainly won a Stanley Cup. So thankful. But in February of that year, so that was in May, but in February of that year, about 100 plus days earlier, that exact same team was totally dysfunctional. Underperforming, angry at each other, right? These two guys wouldn't talk to those two guys. This guy's wife didn't like that guy's wife. Like, we were a mess. And we had a bit of a meeting in the mid-February. And it was not just one, it was many that pulled things together. Do you ever hear of a team coming together? It's about relationships, isn't it? And we did something that we do often with corporate America. We call this idea, right, is getting the unsaid said. Getting the unsaid said, right? So communication's a big part of that. Recently, Jenny and I, we got snowed in Calgary Airport. Like, literally, no planes could take off. All the people were in the terminal. Can you imagine how many people are in the terminal? So every plane came into the terminal, okay? Not one single seat is available. So Jenny goes. She's spending the voucher. She's...
When you get vouchers, you're obligated to use them. That's what that...
Jenny loves
spending. They gave us meal vouchers.
Free money. Yeah.
To be done.
I'm trying to find her a seat. And there's a seat over here. I see one seat. And like, there's probably, I don't know, 150 seats. They're all taken. I see one seat. I sort of move towards it because I figure I'd try to get Jenny a seat. Just as I get near it, the guy takes his bag and puts it on the seat. You know, I can blame him a lot, and I did. I do that all the time, right? And the Bible calls that self, isn't it? Like, we can live in the flesh or we can live in the spirit. And in the flesh, it's hard to have great relationships. So, Jenny, we're going to talk a little bit about three areas of scripture that is going to help our relationship.
Yeah, in the three easy steps we want you to remember are get dressed, eat fruit, and serve drinks.
All right, one more time, everybody together. Get dressed, eat fruit. You guys are so good. So good, that's awesome. Now we better explain it, better we? Yeah.
So this is actually a picture of our oldest son, Ben, when he was playing for the Abbotsford Heat, who were the Calgary Flames AHL affiliate team. And my daughter-in-law, Lindsay, sent me this picture. She went into Save On Foods, and there was a full-life Ben as a cardboard cutout. So she knew as the mom, I'm going to appreciate that. But it just takes me back to when he was just little. He was 5 when he first started to play hockey. And we were really anticipating his first hockey practice, so at age 5. And Ryan was going to be on the road. There's a pattern there for a lot of our events. He was going to be on the road. So it was going to be up to me to dress Ben. And I had no idea. I'm from a family of 3 girls. Knew nothing about hockey, certainly nothing about hockey equipment. And so we had to do a trial run where Ryan trained me. And the thing, you guys, it might be different now, but in the 80s, hockey players, I was astounded to see that they actually wear garter belts. Like, did you know that? I couldn't believe it. But so
too much information, I think, yeah.
Teach me how to put on all of the protective hockey gear, because I had no clue. And then I had to practice it. Because, I mean, he showed me one time, and I had to do it several times. This is all at home. And I also had to prepare enough time to plan, because it was going to take me a long time to dress Ben when we got to the rink. So I had to learn it, I had to practice it, and I had to plan and take the time for it.
So with Get Dressed, Jenny, we get excited about this. You know, if you think of the armor, right?
Yes. So
that idea of, you know, Paul actually says, put on. So instead of putting on hockey equipment, right, put on the armor of God. And it's sort of cool the way this
flashes. It really is. Ephesians 6, finally, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. Therefore, put on the full armor of God so that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground, and after you've done everything, to stand. So when I think back to learning to dress Ben, these first few verses are telling us to put on the full armor of God. So it wouldn't have done him any good if I only put shin pads on and no helmet on his head. And I love that that's repeated twice here. Put on the full armor of God. Some of it comes easily to us and some of it not so much. And why are we putting on the armor of God when we think of our marriage or any relationship we're in? Why do we have to put that armor on? Because the devil is scheming against us.
Yeah.
And it's pretty clear he's scheming against us in all our relationships, in our parenting relationships, in our sibling relationships, in our friend relationships. But where is he scheming the most? Against our marriage relationships. So we need to put that armor on, and then we need to stand. And we're told to stand here three times, to stand against those schemes. And as a married couple, one thing that we have found so awesome is we often say to one another, when a hard time comes, it's you and me against the world. And we're called to stand as married couples with that armor on and to help each other.
Jenny, Ryan, and Jesus against the world, right? Like, so yeah, totally. Thank you, Jenny. And this, let's just go one more, a little further. So then it says, stand firm, right? Gonna look it up, put it up here. So stand firm with the belt of truth buckled around your waist, with the breastplate of righteousness in place, and with your feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. In addition to all this, take up the shield of faith, which you can, with which you can extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. Take the helmet of salvation, the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. So normally, you know what really hit us as we were preparing for this morning? Jenny and I pray that for ourselves, right? Lord, you know, put the armor on me because I need the, you know what hit us? We've never prayed it for each other. Like in our relationships, could we actually pray protection, right? In that relationship, because isn't that what evil one's coming after? Do you ever feel that? You got a great relationship, you know what's coming, right? Like it could go backwards. So want you to start thinking about praying protection, praying the armor for your relationships. It could be in your marriage. It could be in your friendship. It could be in your family. So that was powerful. I'll give a couple thoughts and back to you, Jen. So, you know, faith, right? Like Hebrews 11. Without faith, it is impossible to please God. I love that thought because it helps me so much, right? We're in the economy of faith. Hebrews 4, right? The word of God judges the thoughts and intentions of our heart. So this whole idea of armor is really a spiritual opportunity to enhance relationships.
It is. So get dressed is our first key. And number two, eat fruit. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things, there is no law. And I loved during worship today, we were singing about it's your breath in my lungs, Lord. Yeah. It's your breath. And with the fruit of the Spirit, it's the it's all given to us by the Holy Spirit, but we can ask and we need to ask for more of it. When we were just newlyweds, a year married, we went to a professional athletes outreach conference, and the speaker took the wives, and I really remember her talking about breathing and just saying, when you breathe, exhale sin, it's our confession, inhale the Holy Spirit. And just how when we find that we aren't responding in a relationship with love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, or self-control, to take a moment and breathe and confess that we were acting in the flesh instead, and just ask the Holy Spirit to give that to us. Because Jesus said, when we ask, he gives. And the other thing about fruit that I love is that the first relationship that God created in the Bible was marriage. And what were his instructions to the married couple, Adam and Eve? Be fruitful and multiply.
I thought that was a different fruit.
Well, the multiply, yes. Oh. It can't, but I love that idea that God is telling us to be fruitful, because when I'm fruitful, when I ask for more of the fruits of the Spirit in my life, it spills out and it goes to Ryan.
I like that. I like that, Jenny. So fruit, pretty cool. I had a guy call this week, or no, it wasn't. It was a couple weeks ago. We've been talking for a while. Do you ever get somebody just come to you out of the blue? Like, I just see that as such a God moment, right? Like, so a friend of a friend, you know how that works? A friend of a friend told this guy he should call me. And I'm not going to give you his name, but he's a sweet guy. I love this guy. I love our friendship. And he said, I'm losing my wife. He said, she's my princess. She's everything to me. And I'm going to lose her. She's already left. But I'm going to lose her. He said, I haven't paid attention. I spend more time with my dog than I spend with her. Right? And he's working through stuff. She's working through stuff. We all got stuff. Jenny and I are working through stuff. Okay? So we have grace for him. We have great conversations. But here's the thought that I had as I was chatting with him. Let's just pick on us guys. If we had more love and more joy and more peace and more patience and more faithfulness, right? More gentleness, more goodness, more self, like every woman in the world would want that. It's more. And I just think this idea of fruit is so powerful, isn't it? So Jenny and I see this as maybe praying connection into our relationships, praying connection, right? Because the fruit connects us for sure.
One more little thing about fruit is I see young singles in the room, others that aren't married that maybe want to be married in the room. What a cool thing for you as you're praying about and asking God for the spouse he wants for you to look for the fruit. The Bible says that they'll know you by your fruit. So you're looking at that person. Do they show me love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control? So that's it during the dating phase, and that's a cool guide. During the married phase, though, I'm looking at myself. I'm watching for the fruit in me so that it will overflow to connect with Ryan. The looking at his fruit goes away. I can pray for it, but it's about it's about me and my fruit. So there's a little change there.
Final thought on fruit too. It's a two-way connection. In John 15, Jesus said, I am the vine, you are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. So as we grow in Christ, right? That's got to be our primary focus in life. We're growing in Christ, and we're going to grow certainly laterally in our relationships.
We had a little time back in Montreal. That's where we have five children. So we had our first four in Montreal when Ryan was playing for the Canadiens, and our fifth little after hockey surprise baby Emma. But when they were, we were pretty new believers. Kids were there. We longed to spend time together, to grow fruit together, to make that connection time for the two of us and the Lord. And with his job, he worked nights, basically. Games were at night. Wasn't going to happen in the evening, very seldom. But consistently, and I was not a morning person, but we just decided to buy a coffee maker with an automatic timer on it, and we set it up in our bedroom. Because otherwise the kids heard us on the way to the kitchen. They woke up. So that was our coffee mornings. The kids used to call it Bible time. And they'd say, oh, Mommy and Daddy are having Bible time. They knew where to find us. But little tip for young married couples or old married couples to build the environment that makes it really fun to spend time together. For us, that was coffee.
And guess what we buy for people that are getting married when we're invited? Coffee maker totally. It's the best. And then you had another thought, yeah, though, about our family.
So this is our family quite a number of years ago when we were on a trip to Florida. I think it's sort of the last one, at least, that I had digitally before kids were leaving home for jobs and getting married and so on. But a few years prior to this, I remember in particular one beginning of back to school week. And so at that time, Ryan was broadcasting hockey on TV. This is September, and so he's still home, not on the road yet. And we had a big event at our home on Labor Day weekend for employees in a rink business we had. And they all brought their families to our house, and they all brought their beverages, put them in the fridge. We barbecued and supplied all the food and had an amazing time. But the next morning was the first day of school, and I kind of had one goal for myself for that school year, and that was to get five children on the bus with five lunches. So that didn't always happen. We didn't always make the bus. It was at the end of our driveway. But that was my big goal. So the next morning we got up. We're making the lunches together. Ryan's doing all the sandwiches. I'm throwing in the snacks and the drinks, and thank you, Lord. They all made it on the bus, and none of them forgot their lunch, so it was good. And I actually went off to a meeting at our church. And when I came home, Brian kind of said a weird thing to me. He said, honey, the principal called. And I'm like, oh, no, not on the first day of school. And Ryan said, yeah, and he asked me the weirdest question. He said, Ryan, who packed the lunches today? Was it you or Jen? And Ryan said, why? Why are you asking that? He said, well, Joey, who was in grade six, pulled out his lunch, pulled out his drink, popped the drink, took a swig, spat it out, and said, this tastes terrible. And I had sent our son, Joe, to Langley Christian School, grade six, with a Coors Light in his lunch. However, this is not what we mean by serving drinks. Serving drinks is our next key.
It's my favorite story. I said you have to tell that, Jenny, for sure. So you know it's interesting with serving drinks. We were wondering about this one, but certainly in Luke 22, right? So Jesus, he served himself, right? He served his blood. And he reminds us that when we take communion, that communion cup, right? The drink. Ooh, so powerful. What a reminder. And when we think of sort of this idea, so Jenny, I'll get you to read this and then I'll just...
Sure, from Luke 22. And he took bread, gave thanks and broke it and gave it to them saying, this is my body given for you. Do this in remembrance of me. In the same way, after supper, he took the cup, saying, this cup is the new covenant in my blood, which is poured out for you.
What's crazy about this from a serving point of view? So certainly Jesus has served us. And you know, throughout Scripture has said, okay, I gave you this example, now you go do it. But what is really crazy is four verses later, the disciples are arguing, right? They're saying, who's the greatest? We're back in the flesh, right? They're arguing. Who's the greatest? Jesus looks at him and says, well, here's a teachable moment. The greatest among you serves, right? Like, ladies and gentlemen, that's the backwards gospel. It's backwards to everything in this world, agreed? It's, you know, it's not about me, right? It's about serving. And if you think about that, I said to Jenny this week, what if all I did was serve in our relationship? I think things are going to go pretty good, right? Serving is so powerful. And yet here's the hitch. You already know it. You can't do it. You got no chance, because I got no chance, unless we're in Christ, right? Because that's where we have the pure motive. So why are we serving? We're serving for him. I love that idea. And so this idea of serving only comes, and this is what we were thinking about. So the first one, we were thinking protection power. We're going to bring it to you in a minute. The second one, right, is that connection power in Galatians. And then this one, we were thinking resurrection power, right? Because only in Christ can we actually serve the relationships that we have. And I was looking at, I went back and looked at that verse, and I just got to find it here. I love this verse, right, in Ephesians 1, and Paul says this, Ephesians 1:18. I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened in order that you may know the hope to which he has called you, the riches of his glorious inheritance in his holy people. And this is the verse right here. In his incomparably great power for us who believe, that power is the same as the mighty strength he exerted when he raised Christ from the dead and seated him at the right hand in the heavenly. Resurrection power is available, agreed? Right? To all of our relationships, to all of us as we grow. It's so powerful, so beautiful. So we're starting to finish up here. Oh, yeah, we're good. All right, Jenny, challenge our church.
So we're just going to ask you again. We got pictures of the three steps for spiritually powered relationships. And what's the first one?
Get dressed.
Second, eat first.
You guys are so good.
Third, serve drinks.
So what we were sort of thinking about is this idea, and there's the verses with it, and this idea that it comes full circle, agreed? So we're gonna you know, love the Lord, our God, with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength, and then we're gonna love our neighbor. We're gonna love our relationships. And are you setting this one up?
We're gonna love our neighbor. And who's my closest neighbor for me? It's my husband. It's my spouse. I want to love God.
I live in the house next to you.
I want to love him with all my heart. And I want to show you a little video that's really close to my heart. When Ryan won the Stanley Cup in 1986, I didn't go with him. The opportunity was given for the wives to fly there and come home with the team on the plane. I had our little newborn Christiana and our two-year-old Ben, and I was very happy and content to stay home. And sometimes since, because you know we all have regrets in life, and sometimes since when I see the picture in the dressing room where I might have been, I can feel a little sorry for myself. But the Lord, I knew I wanted to show you this video today. And he really said to me today, I stayed home for a reason and to see something and hear something, and I want to share it with you now.
I was here in the city of Calgary the day the trade was announced. I brought Ryan Walter and Rick Green to the Montreal Canadiens. And Ryan just said to Rick, you've just played the series of your life. Rick, you just scored the goal of your life. Congratulations. How does it feel? Cliche, but how does it feel?
Great, Dick. I tell you, I was so tight before the game, and I was scared about this one. But the guys came through with a big effort, and I was happy to see us get that win.
Ryan, it's a long way from the first I interviewed you when you were a top draft choice with Washington. You struggled through those years. This makes it all worthwhile, I'm sure.
Does, Dick. I have to thank the Lord. I have to do that. And I have to thank our wives. You know, they've been sitting at home for almost two months now for some of these guys, sitting there, nothing to do, but sort of nervous. And I just really thank them a lot.
With the broken ankle, you missed all of the playoffs of this series. I guess you kind of thought your season was over. It's great to make it back.
Fantastic. I didn't know what I could do to help, but I was going to do anything I could. Ricky.
And so love God and love your neighbor. For us, our closest neighbor is our spouse, and the world is watching. That was on Hockey Night in Canada. So it spoke to my heart, and I was really thankful that Ryan thanked our Lord and thanked me. But with our marriage, we're on mission. And we're showing, Jesus said, they'll know you're my disciples by your love.
It's beautiful, Jenny. Last thought. That's how I came to Christ. I saw a relationship. Jean and Deanne Pronovo, they were born again Christians. I didn't know what that was. Right? I'm a kid from Burnaby, British Columbia. I've got no church background. And actually, it was interesting. Max McNabb, our GM, I was captain of the team. He turned to me and he said, Ryan, you're the captain of the team. I want you to watch that Pronovo because he's one of those born-agains. And you know, I watched him so close, I wanted what he had. Right? They had and have a very special bond, very special relationship. And I saw the relationship, and I came into the kingdom, okay? I think Jenny's right, team. Our relationships, it might not be marriage. For many of us, it is. Some of us, it's in family. Some of it's in school, right? Some of us are best friends. Like, we have a chance to create these relationships of commitment, right? And to, in a small way, in our little, tiny, small way, give us a chance to represent Jesus here. So we wondered, could we challenge you a little bit? Is that allowed? These guys do it all the time, so I get to do it, right? This is awesome. Don't you come to church to be challenged? I do, right? I want to grow. I need more. I'm an old hockey player. I got to have more. So here's the thought. Could we pray into our relationships protection power? Right? So it could be a friendship that maybe has gone wrong. And you know why that went wrong, right? It might have been you, it might have been them, but it also might have been the evil one that just says, no, you're not having that relationship. I'm going to mess that up. Protection power. So there's a spiritual element in that. And then number two, could we pray connection power? Right? So the fruit of the Spirit sort of takes over the relationship. Imagine more love, the world is talking about joy. In a world with world wars coming, the world is talking about joy. Where do you get your joy? That is, we do corporate America stuff. We train leaders in corporate. All they're talking about is how do we increase joy in culture and how do we increase joy with clients? They don't even care about selling products anymore. It's about joy. Look at, we get it. We've got it. All we need to do is stay close to him, right? And he's going to expand our joy. Finally, resurrection power. You know, at the end of the day, leaders, you know what's beautiful about this church? Thank you. Our church, thank you for all of you. Is as we give up, he comes in, right? Like Jenny and I, the only difference between us, we've been in Christ for 40 years. The only difference between us now and 10 years ago is we are now done. We're done. Lord, take over. Where do you want us to go, Lord? Who do you want us to go to? Right? So we actually had a really cool experience. We were going to buy a house. And, you know, we've done this many times. And you know, we looked at each other and we said, I think we're doing this wrong. Like, because when you buy a house, what do? You look, okay, what kind of house do you want? Where do you want to live? How big's the house? And we looked at each other and we said, you know, I think we're doing it wrong. Lord, what house do you want us to buy? Oh, that changed everything. All of a sudden, he's sort of got our minds and our hearts on Pender Island. We're going, Lord, are you sure? Pender Island? Like, are you sure? And there's this little house that shows up. We're going, that one? So we buy it. And we go there, and we meet this gentleman that's going to, I'm not very handy. I need help. So I needed this gentleman who's a fix-it guy. His name's Gary. I love Gary. And Gary looked at us, and he said, hockey guy. Right away, he went, hockey guy. You know, he knows hockey. And then he looks at us, and he said, you know, I've been reading my Bible, and I don't understand it. Why? Why Pender Island? For Gary. Right? Isn't it beautiful? So as we think about his resurrection power, right, that's what powers us. I'd love you to learn today at church that Ryan Walter is amazing. But that's not true. That is not true. Jesus Christ is amazing. Could we pray? Lord, we are so thankful for you and for the power that you give us. And just bless the relationships in this church, Lord. I pray that you would grow the friendships and the connections in this church, Lord, and throughout the Comox Valley. Please bring us people that we can just love on. Bring us people that we could, Lord, for your glory, that we could just think about those three things, that we could pray for people and protection over relationships, that we could pray for people and connection in all that we do. And then finally, Lord, that you would take over and that your resurrection power would just allow us to serve the Comox Valley. You just allow us to serve our families, serve the people that are next to us that you've brought to us, Lord. We thank you so much and we love you so much, Jesus. In your great name, amen.